From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This, from Boston, where pediatric COVID vaccines could be just around the corner. If all goes smoothly, kids ages 5 to 11 may be eligible as soon as next week under an emergency use authorization from federal regulators. WBUR's Gabriella Emanuel has been following all the developments as well as the questions that remain. She's here to bring us up to speed. Gabriella, hi.
Hi there.
So tell us, what happens next?
So right now, as we've been hearing in the news this week, the FDA kind of weighed all the data, considered it. They have an expert panel, and then the FDA itself kind of makes their final ruling. So they've kind of looked at the data to say, do the risks of COVID in this age group outweigh any risks from the vaccine? And so far, their panel of experts has said yes. The next step is that it goes to the CDC to make their determination. And their panel of independent experts is set to meet next week, November 2nd and 3rd. And then the CDC will make a final pronouncement, maybe even within hours of that decision. So late next week, it could be available. And I should say, pediatrician offices and hospitals have already pre-ordered the vaccine. The vials could arrive before that final decision is even made, such that when there is the thumbs up, the shots are right in the right place and ready to go.
Wow. And so what are those places? Where will parents be able to go to get their children vaccinated?
So last week at a legislative hearing, a lawmaker asked the state Secretary of Health and Human Services, Mary Lou Sutters, this exact question. And she said, can I ask you to stay tuned? So what that implies is that the rollout is still in the works. But the big thing to know is that there are four general places that families should look. The first is pediatrician offices and hospitals, as you might expect. These will be offered often at regular checkups and also in special clinics, think like a flu clinic. I spoke to some of the pediatricians about their plans, and they said that they actually may be offering it first thing at a regular checkup so that the 15-minute observation period kind of overlaps with the rest of the checkup, not to kind of throw things off. Not all pediatricians' offices will be offering them, I should say, because you needed to order in bulk in at least 300 doses. So some smaller offices may not be able to do that. The second place to look is schools. It's up to local school districts and local departments of public health to organize school-based vaccination clinics. But the state has said they are there to help even to run these clinics if the local school district reaches out to them. So, for example, Worcester has already said that they will be running vaccine clinics in all of their schools for this 5 to 11 kind of cohort, this age group. And here is Madeline Castile, the Commissioner of Health and Human Services for Worcester.
We've already sent out the permission slip with flyers that we have already made, so people are aware that that's going to be happening and what the process will be.
They are looking at doing these clinics after schools, kind of around pickup time, so that parents can be there and to give consent if they don't already have that permission slip. The third place to look is retail pharmacies. They are getting half of the state's initial kind of allotment of vaccines, which is determined at the federal level. These are kind of a really helpful place because they have long hours and are open on weekends. When Sutters spoke, she didn't yet know exactly which retail pharmacies would be stocking the pediatric vaccine and which wouldn't, but the state website will be updated once that is clear. And finally, clinics. So there are not going to be mass vaccination sites, think Gillette Stadium, but there will be smaller clinics and also mobile clinics, which is key for improving access. And there will actually be another type of clinic too, things at athletic events, think youth soccer events. Not as much for the players, but for the spectators, where the parents are there so they can give consent and also give a hug after the kid gets the shot.
Gabriella, every parent that I know that has kids in this age range, especially if they got pre-existing conditions, is just antsy to get the vaccine. But is that speak for everybody? Do we know how parents in general feel about it?
First and foremost, parents are thinking a lot about it. I spoke to pediatrician Chloe Campbell, and she told me if she sees 21 patients in a day, it's a safe bet that she'll field 21 questions about the pediatric COVID vaccine.
If somebody comes in for a hangnail, we talk about the COVID vaccine. I'm not kidding.
Campbell is the medical director at Pediatric Associates of Greater Salem and Beverly. And Campbell's patients actually seem to mirror a national trend, which is roughly a third of families, the ones you probably know, are ready to run out and get the shot as soon as it's available. They want to know where and when and how fast. But the other ones do have questions about the vaccine. And Campbell said they're often about kind of wondering about the long-term effects. She says these aren't necessarily anti-vaxxers. They are just kind of being cautious, especially because it's children. So these conversations are happening in doctors' offices, but some public health experts worry there isn't enough kind of outreach, you know, public, you know, awareness campaigns. Massachusetts has yet to launch anything that's a big public awareness campaign to prepare families for this rollout. And Lloyd Fisher, who is the president of the Massachusetts chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and he's been working very closely with the state, he said he's hopeful that there will be more ads and more buzz coming soon.
This is the time that we really want to ramp this up.
Fisher said kind of these next few weeks will be critical.
And this is an emergency use authorization, not official approval. So these studies will be continuing, right?
Exactly. So even as people kind of are making plans for shots to go into kids' arms, the scientists are still at work. And in the months and really the years ahead, there will be a lot of research and studies to be done. I spoke with infectious disease doctor at Boston Children's Hospital, who's also a professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School. His name is Rick Malley. And he said that one of the things to look for is new information on the vaccine's rare side effects. There's concern about inflammation in the heart, especially in younger men and adolescent boys. Malley said clinical trials like Pfizer's pediatric mRNA COVID vaccine trial aren't actually designed to pick up these extremely rare but potentially serious side effects.
At the end of the day, we're talking about somewhere in the range of 1,500 children between the ages of 5 to 11 who got the mRNA vaccine.
And half of those are boys, so that's just 750 people, not a huge sample in order to identify a very rare side effect. Malley's hopeful that future studies will show there's not much of a risk from this uncommon side effect, and many experts do point out that COVID is more likely to cause heart inflammation than the vaccine. But Malley says all of this doesn't mean we shouldn't promote the vaccine in children. He says it just means we have to be upfront about what is known and what is not yet known.
Gabriella, I'm really grateful you have for us what we know and don't know about this. This is really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's WBUR reporter Gabriella Emanuel. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Hundreds of thousands of Massachusetts homes remain without power after hurricane-force winds swept across parts of the state yesterday morning. Transit services and schools were also disrupted. State officials say it could take days before power is restored everywhere. Utility companies have hundreds of crews working to repair damage left behind from the nor'easter. Chris McKinnon is a spokesperson for Eversource.
Our primary focus right now is on removing all of the debris and getting as many crews as we can down to the South Shore, the South Coast, Cape Cod, and Martha's Vineyard. Those are the areas that were hardest hit with this storm.
Eversource says more crews will be coming in from Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, even Canada by tomorrow to help out. In the meantime, more than a dozen school districts in the South Shore and the Cape canceled school today because of the storm damage, and the Red Cross has opened a shelter at Weymouth High School for people who need a warm place to stay. In other news, Boston City Councilor and mayoral candidate Michelle Wu says as mayor, she'd implement a proof of vaccination requirement to enter places like restaurants, stores, and gyms, similar to the vaccine passport system used in New York City.
This is actually something that helps businesses. And of course, we need to be sure that the burden of administration isn't on our entrepreneurs. But with a robust public health infrastructure, we can get to the point where other cities are and ensure that we are ending this pandemic.
Wu's opponent, Anissa Asaibi George, has previously said she's nervous about the idea of vaccine passports and believes they could be a difficult thing to manage. Meanwhile, Acting Mayor Kim Janey is using $3 million in federal pandemic relief money to create a green jobs program. Janey says the goal of the program is to benefit communities in Boston disproportionately impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic.
The model supports an earn and learn practice to ensure members enter and succeed in career pathways. Phase one will include a foundation training, and phase two will include fellowships and post-secondary education support.
She says the impacts of climate change require urgent action, and she hopes these jobs can be part of the solution. And finally, dozens of doctors, politicians, and activists are pushing back against plans to remove the large tent encampment near the intersection of Mass Avenue and Melnea Cass Boulevard. They gathered in Boston yesterday to protest the plan, as well as the plan to use the nearby Suffolk County Jail for treatment. State Representative Ruth Balzer has sponsored legislation to prohibit sending people to correctional facilities for treatment. She says the state should be looking at other options to help those living on the streets.
I hear people say everything's on the table. I'm here to say there's one thing that's got to be off the table, and that's incarcerating people who are sick.
The court at the jail could be operating as early as next week. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for a more thorough look at the developing situation at Mass and Cass. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. If you and your kids are looking for a new adventure this fall, listen to the Molly of Denali podcast. This new 8-part story is based on the hit PBS Kids show. This season, ride a mystery train with Molly and Trini as they solve the case of a missing jewel necklace. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.